This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry during our September anniversary month. We are celebrating 71 years of continuous radio broadcasts. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day and invite you to tune in to this radio station every Sunday for worship with us.
Most people want to have a full life, but have not discovered how to attain it. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, it was you who said, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." God, we crave for that abundant life, though often we know not which way to turn, that it might be ours. Through your precious word this day, grant that we may have insights into how St. Paul, getting the same message from you that we receive, truly lived a full life. And if we cannot be like a Paul, then help us to draw closer to you and to see what life abundant is really all about. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Friends in Christ, many people want to have a full life, but have not discovered how to attain it. It is not that they have not tried themselves to build this full life, and in some cases have done a fairly good job, but there is still something that is lacking. For example, here is a man that I am acquainted with, a very fine gentleman. He had an excellent education, and he had to pay for most of it himself, so it was not just handed to him. As a result of that good education, he was prepared to go into some very interesting employment, and it has been very, very challenging to him. Continues to be very rewarding, too, and they have a nice style of living. This gentleman is well married. He married a sweetheart from his youth. They come from similar backgrounds. They enjoy one another, and as a result of that, they've had a good time with each other, and they have a wonderful family, nice children, outstanding in just about every way. Besides that, they have many nice friends. They certainly are not lonesome. They enjoy a good social life with one another. They can go on vacations together. They can have good times in their homes. Everything seems to be nice as far as that goes. Besides that, they are good members of the church. They're in church on a regular basis. They teach Sunday school. They have contributed well to the church, and they see the very important part that the church is playing in society. And yet, when you put all of that together, I was not astounded when one day, having lunch with my friend, he said to me, "You know, life is good. I have so many things to thank God for." He said, I don't know that I even deserve it." And after he had expounded on all of these things, he said to me, "But there's still something missing." He has a full life up to a certain place, and then there is something missing. Well, we have a person in our text today by the name of St. Paul, who is writing a letter, and this is the last sermon that we preach on this letter for a while, who said that life to him was full. Does he have something to teach us? And I'm sure that he does. Paul had taken Jesus very literally. He had an understanding of what the Christian faith was all about. He knew that it could be exciting. He knew that it could be rewarding. He knew that it could bring him a great deal of peace. For Jesus one day had said, "I have come that they might have life, and they might have it abundantly." And then Jesus went on to talk about the wolves who came and tried to rob people of the good things of life, tried to destroy them, and then they let them go, or they slaughtered them in one way or another. It was a picture of what life can do. "Come follow me and we'll give you this or we'll give you that. Come to the casino until you become an addict of gambling. Come to the bar until you have become an alcoholic. Come to this, come to that." That's what the world can offer to us. Well, Jesus did not do that. "Come to me and I will guide you and I will direct you, and I'll make you mine, and I'll give you security." That was his promise, as it is recorded in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Paul knew these words of Jesus very well, and so he applied them to his own life. And then one day when he was sitting in jail, he was under what they call house arrest. That is, they put chains on him, and then they sent certain guards out to watch over him. Paul thought, "What in the world am I going to do sitting here in Rome? There's so many things that I'd like to be doing as I travel across the country, but that has been taken away from me." Then he began to look. "Well, there are people all around me. There are these guards. They don't have any understanding of who Jesus Christ is, so let me talk to them." And this is what he writes in the 4th chapter of this great letter to the Philippians. "But I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Sitting right here, I have been able, by the grace of God, to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Jesus Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have become encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly." He said, "I've been an influence to other witnesses for Christ to go out there and to make the message crystal clear." And he said, "And in the meantime, when the guards came out, I asked them, 'Do you know anything about Jesus?' And then he began to tell them what Jesus had done for them, how he had suffered and died on the cross and paid the price for their sins and restored them into fellowship with God. And all these idols that they had there in Rome, they didn't amount to anything. And one by one, we are told that these guards came to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. So he had learned the secret, and he puts it that way in our text today, he had learned the secret of knowing plenty and knowing nothing. He was a person who had learned in whatsoever state to be content. Let me read this to you. He says here in the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 10, and that really is our text for today, "Rejoice greatly in the Lord, that at the last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living or in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me." Now, what Paul is saying is, if you want to have the full life, there's got to be a sense of contentment. Contentment means satisfaction. Now, that doesn't mean that we become complacent in our living. Contentment does not mean to be lazy. No, contentment means that I take what I have at the present time and thank God for it, and then I move on with it to other circumstances. When is enough enough? The contented person can ask, and he not only asks it, he answers the question. And he'll go on to take a look at his life and say, that which I think is bringing me a great deal of contentment is not necessarily true. So he turns back. He turns back to say, God, what do you want me to do? And God says, I want you to be in service for me, for therein you are going to find your contentment. So Paul says to those Philippians he's writing to, you know, when I was in Philippi, I had some wonderful times. The Philippian jailer, he pounded Silas and me. He put us in the inner cell in the stocks. He treated us terribly until he met Christ. And when he met Christ, and we talked about that last week, then he became a new man. He became my close friend. He's a great member of the church in Philippi now. He's doing a lot of things to help other people come to know Christ. And then there was that dear Lydia, who, when she found out we had no place to stay, was the first one to say, come and stay in our house. Just having your life revolve around Jesus Christ is the secret. Listen, this is what Paul says, is the secret to living a full life. Let your life revolve around Jesus Christ. Now, not necessarily the church that can come with it, but maybe the church will let us down, but let it revolve around Jesus Christ and just see what a full life you really have. Even when changes are coming, and the changes will certainly come, for it is a part of living. I wonder if there's any age that has gone through more changes than ours has gone through. Sometimes it's pretty hard to keep up with it all. I take a look at the young people. Well, they're having changes, but we all had changes. Sooner or later, they get to be 18 years of age, and they're going to leave home. That's a traumatic experience, to leave father and mother and the security that they have provided for us all these years, and now they're gone, and I'm away in the service, or I'm away working, or I'm away at college. And there are all of these influences that come, and what do I do with them all? Oh, how I would love to be able to sit down and talk with mom and dad. And then we get a good case of homesickness. And it can come, and believe me, if you are homesick, and I had a case of it, you are really sick. You know not which way to turn. Suddenly, we find ourselves living not under the protection of the family, and where you are considered to be the greatest of all. But you are thrown to the wolves, so we say, out in a world that is extremely competitive. In my home school, you could say I was one of the best students in the class. But when I come to a big university or a big private college, I find that some of the best minds in my area are there. And I have competition that I knew not of. That same thing would apply to dramatics or to the athletics or whatever else it might be. We had a relative who went far in the world of athletics. He became a professional ball player until one day it was all over. And he said to me one day when we were visiting him in winter training, and I think I mentioned him to you not too many weeks ago, you know, sooner or later, even athletics that we enjoy and love so much will have come to an end. And so it has for me. He was going through a change. He was not quite the ball player that he was when he first went into the major leagues. And pretty soon they would be setting him aside and offering him an opportunity to get out. We become fathers and mothers. Our families grow up. They go away. Talking with a lady the other day about the last of her children, who is now going around to take a look at colleges. And I said, can you anticipate what it's going to be like a year from today? And she said to me, all too well. Do you like it? No, I don't like it. But I know that's the way life is, and so you have to take it for what it is. And we are going to be the empty nest. But in that time, there will still be the full life, because there will be things that God has in store for us at that time. Then sometimes we get to that retirement age. And as I've told you so often, that has not been too easy for me. And I kind of agree with the old people who say, the golden years are not always golden. All that we were supposed to have and see and do just doesn't seem to be coming forth. It isn't that we don't have the money to travel here, there, and everywhere and do all these great things. We just don't have the energy to do it. We have too many aches and too many pains. One person said to me the other day, I'm lonesome. I said, you're lonesome. You're living in this beautiful retirement center. And there are over 100 of us who are there, and we gather together every evening to eat a meal and share the things of the day. I miss my wife. I'm alone. I'm lonesome. Changes. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. You see, our life has to be wrapped into Jesus Christ in order for it to have that source of contentment which spells the full life. Even our churches can change. The church of 20 years ago is not the church that's there now. And the church that's going to be there in 20 years hence is not the church that is there now. Change has come. The Word of God stands secure. The message cannot change. And if anyone seeks to change that, the church will soon cease to be. But things that surround us in the church, they certainly can change. You see, the answer is, and Paul is our mentor here, and is trying to point it out to us, the change is secured because Christ walks with us. And that's why he could say, for me to live is Christ. Paul knew beyond all doubt when he died he was going to heaven. Do you have that assurance, friend? I know how repetitious this is. But again and again I hear it. Do you know that you're going to go to heaven when you die? And that was a real problem of that man that I described earlier in the sermon. Yes, he was a part of the church, but he had not yet come to the place where Jesus Christ was real. He knew him as a historical person. He knew him as the one who taught him how to live. But to really leave it all with Jesus, that he had yet to do. There was one more step to do. And to my knowledge, he has not done it yet. But here is where it becomes real and living, that I can leave it all with Christ and know that if this is the last, well, I will not like to leave this world because I have so many good things and life has been so full here, but I'm going to go to heaven. And the way that I'm going to heaven, let me spell it out clearly again, is that I confess my sins and I turn to the cross, and there Jesus paid the price for my sin. And if I, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, will receive him into my life, then I am forgiven. Then I'm restored into fellowship with God. Then he will give me the full life while I am here, and then he will take me to heaven when it is all over. Paul saw that. And so in those days when life was beginning to come to an end, the Apostle Paul was saying, well, I know that there's something for me to do here. And in the closing time that he was free to move about, what did Paul do? He had the opportunity to visit with governors, Governor Felix, his successor, Governor Festus, and then finally King Agrippa, and tried to tell them all about Jesus until they asked, are you trying to make a convert out of us? And then Paul had the right as a Roman citizen to go to Rome and to tell the story of Jesus Christ there. You see, friend, it's always something. It is always something fresh and new when Jesus Christ is directing our ways. Will we have our anxious moments? Of course we will. Were there times when probably Paul was down in the dumps? Of course there were. That doesn't mean that we can't be down in the dumps and still be enjoying the full life, because we know when the down in the dump period comes where we can go. We can go to the Lord Jesus. But Christ was walking with Paul, and Christ will walk with you and with me. He has promised to do it, and he is the same for us as we move forward towards this goal in our sanctified life. I have learned, Paul said. I hope we have learned from Paul. I have learned the secret of being content under all circumstances. And so, as we have taken some thoughts out of this great book of Philippians, we remember that Paul ended it all by saying, I can do all things, not on his own, but I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. He is the one who strengthened Paul. He is the one who will strengthen us. He is the one who will walk with us. He is the one who will challenge us. And put all of those things together, security and challenge and strength and forgiveness and an eternal home, and you have the Savior who gives you a full, full life. Amen. Let us pray. You alone, O God, can make us rich. You alone can free our souls from guilt. You alone can assure us that we are yours forever. Come, Lord Jesus, and give to us a taste of the full life, and help us to understand that it is only in a relationship with Jesus Christ that it is possible to talk about the full life. We think of those this day who believe that they have everything and yet realize that there is still one little thing missing. Grant, O God, that they may take that final step, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to turn their lives over to you. Sustain them with your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace for the week ahead. Our first broadcast was aired September 6, 1936 on WMT Radio, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterloo, Iowa. We now broadcast on 19 stations in 9 states across our nation, shortwave in Europe, and on the internet. We are grateful to you, our listener, for making this ministry possible with your financial support and prayers. To help celebrate our 71st anniversary, Christian Crusaders is now excited to offer Basic Biblical Truths, a set of 5 gospel-centered messages by Reverend Dr. Homer Larson on DVD. These 20-minute video programs are ideal for church and pulpit supply, group and individual Bible studies. They're available by request with a suggested donation of $10 per program. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift to help cover production and mailing costs is available. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo, Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 45 years.